Who can my boy in to the sixth in the continuing series of Shi'urim on the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. In the first five Shi'urim, we've been discussing the development of the revelation of the Kabbalah from a historical perspective. That's why it's called the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah, because philosophy and history ultimately are correlated. And we've been speaking about the important turning point in the Kabbalah, namely the Kabbalah of the Arizal. And we've been speaking about the relationship of the Arizal to those Mekubalim that came before him, and the relationship of the Arizal to those who came after him, right? Either Mekubalim or people, Balei Machshava, who use Kabbalah very, very much as an integral part of their philosophy, the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shachayim, etc., etc. Now I want to go back a little bit back again. I guess his Pashtus Fistalkus is also a metaphor to what we're actually doing. But what I want to do is last week we spoke about what is the Chiddush, what is the novel thing we see in the Ari. The novel thing in the Ari, we spoke about, in addition to the notion of Tzimtzum, is also the notion of what's called Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels. And we discussed, in fact, actually, last week and the week before, actually, the consequences of this important new concept, which for the first time, at least in the Arizal, is revealed. Now, I want to actually extend this further and actually dig a little bit deeper into this. In the Ari, actually, himself speaks about those who came before them and the relationship of his Kabbalah to those who came before him, the Rishonim. He speaks about this himself, he writes about this himself, and it's to be found in the standard edition of the Eitz Chaim on Kuf Yotes Mod Aleph. And there in the second paragraph, it says, L'ha'arizal ha. Namely, this is something that the Ari wrote down. And I'm just going to read this. I spoke about this probably in the first year, but I'm going to read it again because I think I'm going to try to understand this a little bit on a deeper level. So the Ari writes, HaRamban v'chaverav v'divar rishonim k'mo Rabbi Chuli ben Akana. Rabbi Chuli says before the Ramban. Ramban actually calls it, right? But right, lo iskir rak yud sfiras. They only mentioned 10 sfiras. V'lo gilu inyoni paltzuf klal. They did not reveal the notion of a paltzuf. I'll explain a little bit what this means. One of the important major features of the Kabbalah the Ari is his usage and his usage of the concept of what's called a paltzuf. V'da, and he says, you should know, sh'aramban v'rishenim ayu yodim b'paltzuf. The Ramban v'rishenim knew about the concept of paltzuf. They spoke about it, they hid it. They spoke about it with great concealment. Because of the length of the exile, because of the anti-spiritual forces, so the spiritual lights were not unable to penetrate. Of course, not every person, has the merit of, in fact, connecting intellectually with such spiritual concepts. Ondom, says the Ari, be'ikfus b'shicha k'mo b'dereinu zeh, in the foothills of the Mashiach, like this generation, the Ari clearly says that, that the Ari is clearly saying that what's driving his revelations is the messianic dimension of the age in which he lives. So the lights are penetrating, expanding as they were in the beginning. There was a time when the world was rectified. Okay, etc. So, in other words, the Ari is saying very clearly that the notion of partzufim, which he obviously regards as a very fundamental concept in his Kabbalah, which we'll speak about, was actually known by the Ramban and the Rishonim, but was hidden by them because of the Golos. That's what the Ari is saying. Okay, now, I would like to ask a very innocent question. How did the Ari know that the Ramban knew about Patsufa? You're going to say to me, okay, he knew about it through Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, fine, and I accept that. And for sure, I have no doubt that he knew about Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, just like the Ari, like Reb Chaim Vital speaks about the Ari, he understood the Shurash, the Shambas of people. But somehow, something leads me to believe that the Ari is saying something which a person perhaps does not have to have Ruach HaKodesh for. In other words, I'm saying with great humility that certainly what we know about the Ari, there are certain things, Gilgulim, which for sure you need Ruach HaKodesh. In fact, one of the compelling reasons to believe in the truth of Kodesh is because he reveals things with incredible detail and accuracy that without Ruach HaKodesh, no one would ever have any possibility of understanding. But something like this, he writes the Ramban, who's a master, it seems to me that this statement is a little bit type of a different statement. This statement, there should be some type of a hermeneutical clue that the Ramban, in fact, was hiding, being master, concealing the concept of Parsif. So I'm going to be a little bit chutzpahdik, and I would like to raise the question, where in the Ari do we see where he thought perhaps the Ramban was concealing these things like Paltzov, etc., which he's revealing? Where in the Ari? Okay, so once again, like I said before, I have no tradition, no Masorah on this, but I would like to suggest something. Okay? Now, in the Shalman Beis, in the Yetz Chaim, there's a drasha of the Ari, which is called Drushe Abia. Abia is Rashi Teves, it's an acronym for the four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. I don't believe that by saying this to you, I'm teaching you Kabbalah, because Avshar Chaim has it, Kabbalah Tanya, the Tanya has it. We know that there are four worlds. Atzilus is purely spiritual, and then the worlds become increasingly physical, and then there's Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. We live on the lower rung of the most physical world, which is Olam Asiya. So, the Ari, in Shal Mem Beis, the 42nd gate, the 42nd gate in the Eitz Chaim, has a long drasha, and he speaks about the configuration, the clench, and the ontology of the structure of these four worlds and how they relate to each other. Now, the Ari says the following thing. The Ari discusses in Perek Aleph, Yerin Perek Aleph, discusses the fact that we know that, for example, in the physical world, right, there are four Yesodis, four elements, you know, which is fire, Eish Ruach Mayim Ofer, fire, wind, water, and earth. And then he speaks about, too, you have Doimem, you have, you know, things like rocks, which means they're not alive. And then you have tzameach, vegetation. And then you have, and then after that you have chai, which are animals. And then you have medabe, which is a person. They're different. We know that in the world, we have different elements. We have different levels of life. We have, inorganic or inanimate objects. And then we have vegetation. And he mentions that, in for example, if you take the inanimate objects to vegetation, vegetation to animals, animals to man, there are intermediates in each one. So, for example, he says that we go from the inanimate to vegetation. It's what's called almogim, almogs, which are actually like they're vegetation in the sea, and they don't move. That's what he wants to say. You ever see that? They look like rocks in the sea. Almogs, what's it called?
Coral, right.
Almogim, right? And then he says, for example, between vegetation and animals is what's called the piece of kalorim, piece about type of a dog that grows from the ground.
A mouse,
right? Well, Kelly calls it Kelly, the Galabakauka, right? And then, right? Right. Kelev is a total sofer. And then he speaks about between an animal and a man, there's a monkey. Interesting. That's intermediate. Very interesting. And then he goes on, and he also speaks about the fact that also too, we go to physical and spiritual levels, and spirituality is always an intermediate. So he says, what he wants to do is he wants to, even the spiritual world between two levels is always an intermediate. There's a mamutza. So he says, Va'in is by emanal, she ate, right? This will be explained, right? And that which we discussed above. I'm now on Daf Peites Amud Beis. Bechir Semtzois Ben Kol Bechino Bechina. Right? Doim Elam Ashikosim Chach Me'atev. He says this notion of an intermediate is similar to what the Chach Me'atev. Right? Speak about that. What you see is to know Kabbalah, you have to know science too. Viviu HaRamban. Now he quotes the Ramban. Viviu HaRamban. Betchilu B'Peret B'Pabad HaPasuk. Now, I don't have a DBS. I don't have anything. I think, to my knowledge, is the only time he mentions the Ramban. But anyway, B'Peresh HaPasuk, in the Pasuk, for all that's Chais HaSoy V'Voyu. And there the Ramban, and also he brings Sefer HaBoya. Who's Sefer HaBoya? Chuni Ben Akane. So the two people that he mentioned, right there, the Ramban and the Chuni Ben Akane, are mentioned here. Now what is this concept they bring? They bring this concept called that Kikoyim Shebor HaAv Yisoydeh, before Kosh Bol created the four elements, Bor HaChoyma, he created a matter, a substance, that's called the Hiyuli. The famous Hiyuli. Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it on the Chumash. Shua Dova Hamuchan L'Kabal Tzura Abbas HaSoydeh. This is somehow something which can... It's a primal substance that, in fact, can assume the form of the four Yisoydes. Ach, afterwards, Aval Hu Eidu Loivesh Shum Tzura Klav, but it has no form itself. It's formless. V'ika. And then he goes on and says... Nikra Efes, because Baruch is called Efes, nothing. And afterwards comes Toyo, Ubi Adova says the Arizal, there has to be an intermediate between the Matzel, the created, and that's all that which created. And this is like the Hiyuli. That's there we go, it goes on. Okay. Now, my hunch is that when the Ari said that the concept of Paltzuf, and he mentions Paltzuf, maybe it's right, is in the Ramban B'Chaveros, as in the Rabbi Chunya Ben Akane, I think it comes from here. I mean, I would be curious to see if it mentions, I don't remember anywhere he mentions the Ramban anywhere, but I would think it comes from here. So the question is, my contention is that the Ari saw that the Ramban's usage of the concept of Hiyuli, right, signaled to the Ari that the concept of Paltzuf was concealing it. Now, of course, concealing it can mean many different things. We use the word concealed to mean like I have something to hide. It could possibly be Lahasta means it's embedded, it's inherent in something. In other words, the primal concept, the Paltzuf, it's not that it's not like the Ramban saw the Yetz Chaim and hid it, that no one. No, healing means that it might have been expressed in some type of the primal idea is there, but it wasn't, the Ari gave it its clearest expression. But what I would like to do is, how is the Hiyuli related to the concept of Paltzuf? Okay. So what I want to claim is, what is Hiyuli? Hiyuli means an intermediate. Meaning what? In contradistinction, let's say, to, for example, Maimonides in the Guide for Plants, the Megillah Nevuchim, in the section on negative theology, if you haven't learned it, you can check it out on shkofacircle.com. I give 20 lectures on that. There's a clear dichotomy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. The Rambam, right, this is one of the central, right, postulates or contentions of the Rambam in the Targum HaNevuchim, is that God is unlike anything that we can speak about in the world. We can speak about God's actions, but we can't speak about himself. But in other words, we can't even use a statement to positively describe God. In other words, there's an absolute dichotomy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and between everything else in the world. There's no way of bridging this gap. I think in section 2, chapter 12, he speaks about the thoughts of God, but let's leave that aside. That certainly is the thrust of the Ram. Right, that's the is the thrust of the Ram's argument from a physical point of view. God is unlike anything, just like, you know, 2 + 2 is not equal to an apple. So now we can't, right? Oh, there's a total dichotomy between God. My contention is the Ari is saying differently. He's arguing on the Rambam. The Ari is devoting an entire drasha here explaining that there's a very, very important concept called an intermediate. Now, which means, according to, and the Ari says, Ki nei behechrech, there has to be, shetiye madrigem tzoi, ben amatzil be'el anetzal. There has to be an intermediate. Now, I mean, for the Rambam, this would probably be kfir, because it's heresy. What do you mean? There can't be an intermediate. There's a sharp break. God is unlike anything else. But the Ari says there has to be an intermediate. Now, chas v'shalom, God forbid, there he is, not speaking up because of. But I claim here, there's a totally different way of understanding the nature of reality. For the Rambam, right, when we look at reality in terms of being. In other words, the world presents itself, we put things categories. There's God, there's that which is not God, there's different categories. It was. For the Ari, the truth of the world is process, becoming. I think I must have spoken about that. This is an ancient dispute between Parmenides and Heraclitus. When I speak about an intermediate, I don't mean it in a traditional metaphysical sense, but I mean an intermediate means that the truth of the world is becoming. In other words, the truth of the world is becoming. It's interesting, we find a little bit of this dispute, they maybe mentioned this too, between the Afshachayim and the Balatanya. The Balatanya understands that Tzimtzum is a process. We go from Seifiv Kolamim to Mamala Kolamim. The Afshachayim, it's like, there's two Bechinas. Two Bechinas. So now, what the Ari is saying, this is what I'm saying the Ari is that the truth of the world is process. Habachash, Tuva, Bechayim, and Tumayim, Severations. Which, by the way, Chadmash also acknowledges too, but whatever it is. He's made a mix. What I'm saying is that the truth of the relationship of God to the world, which is reflected in the truth of everything else, is becoming. Evolution, whatever it is, things evolve, it's a process. And it's known that Plato and Aristotle, based upon Parmenides' declaration that nothing is nonsense, right, rejected. Plato and Aristotle have no concept of process. Don't count the process in Aristotle. There's categories. He speaks about potential. He's might have mixed us, but don't count the process. Process actually comes about only later on in history, either with the advent of what's called creation ex nihilo. But more than that, but that's not enough, because creation ex nihilo is, as we spoke about, Hashkafas HaKadakam, it could probably just be like two dinim, two forms of things. Process comes up in modern philosophy probably in Hegel, when it's a concept of negation, which, by the way, is a Christian version of the Shuras HaKelem. But of course, if you look at my article in Rishiva, it's quite different. But in any case, in other words, what the Ari here is introducing a concept of process. And says the Ari, where in Jewish history of philosophy do we have the first notion of process? In the Ramban. When the Ramban speaks about B'riyas HaOlam, it's the very first Ramban in the Chumash. Everybody knows the Ramban. And he speaks about V'aretz Ha'oyis HaTzoyim V'avoy V'chish HaPeis HaHoyim. He speaks about the Hiyuli. The Ramban, for the first time, I think the first time, maybe Sefer HaKadah too, right? Sefer HaBoyah is speaking about the truth The ontological truth of the world is not being categories of existence, but rather process, a unit. That's what I understand in the Ari. So very good. That's a very big novella in the Ari. And in fact, if there's something inherent, if there's an inherent attack and critique of what's called Greek philosophy and its usage in Jewish philosophy and theology, I would say this is the critique. The Ari wants to transform the nature of Jewish ontology from being to becoming. Okay, now, very good. So it's clear to me, at least hermeneutically, that when the Ari says that the concepts were concealed in the Ramban, he's referring to the concept of hiyuli. Right? Torah, which is only b'mokum echad, is osh b'mokum achim. Okay, now, you're going to ask me all very, very nice. But what does it have to do with patsufim? What does it have to do with patsufim?
The Gemara doesn't talk about process? Or are you saying in the Rishonim?
Don't want to speak about anything. What does it speak about? Okay, now. I mean, there's no philosophical concept of the Gemara.
I mean, whatever we say, it means what it means.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I mean, I'm right now. What? Right? Where is this concept of the process related to Pautzuf? Okay? Now, first of all, what is the concept of a Pautzuf? So, I mean, I don't want to go into detail what a Pautzuf is. He speaks about it. But let me speak about some of the consequences of a Pautzuf. The Pautzuf, in other words, before the Ari, let's use the word Ari. What happens is they speak about the 10 spheres, and they don't speak about a pounce. Now, we can look at this in several ways. What are the consequences? A pounce literally means a face. But what does it mean? 10 spheres are 10 isolated things, they're 10 categories. Even the Ramak, Meshika Dovera, before the Ari, she speaks about spheres in spheres, you know, chesed and din, etc., etc. Some of you say that when you count spheres or oimer, but it's also called categories. It's also called categories. It's just categories and subcategories.
There's no connection, no development from one to the other.
It could be a connection, but once again, I think they might connect with each other, but it's really, I don't think it connects.
It's not a process.
It's not a process.
Right. Point A to point B.
Right. When I speak about a process, I speak of movement. For example, the Ramchal speaks about spheres speaking to each other. A process has to speak about living things. A human being. And a human being is a process. In other words, there's human functions. You know, there's the eyes, there's the nose, he walks, he talks, this and that. In other words, the concept of Pautzuf is fundamental for the concept of process. I mean, the ultimate process is that a human being? A human being, you know, does things out of process. He walks, he talks, he thinks. In other words, the kinds of parts are related to process. Fundamentally related to process. I cannot speak about process effectively without speaking about a part. Now, in the Rambam, there is the spheres come together, this and that. There is a kind of part. But the ultimate dynamics of parts, in my opinion, really come from the concept of what? Of a part. Because in a pounce-off, all the different things, there's a whole that's greater than some of the parts. Which means, category, means I don't, for example, I don't think of the eyes and noses of categories of a person. Because even the Ramat speaks about spheres building together, but it's like a building with bricks. The building is no more than the mortar and the bricks. When I speak about a human being, certainly the whole is greater than some of the parts. That means that really, there are no divisions. There's no concept of classes. All there is a whole which moves. Okay? Now, so I want to claim that Derrida understood that an important, if I look at the nature of reality, as being one of process, to speak about that fundamentally and effectively, I have to have a concept of Pautzuf. And I want to claim that's where the Ari says that the Ramban and the Duchri ben Akana was the Machab and Sefer Boya were master of the lotion of Pautzuf. That's what I want to claim. Because it's very interesting. Right. You know, the Ramak, where the Ramak speaks like Yuli, he does Yuli, but it can, the Kabbalah, the Ramak is just taking things and, you know, adding them up. But there's no whole greater than some of the parts. There's no process in which different things are embedded in it. That's what I want to claim.
Can I ask a heretical question?
Yes.
You said Plato does not have a concept of process. But isn't Yuli a Platonic concept?
So what it is it is a Platonic concept, but no, you see, in Yuli, it is true that Yuli comes from Plato, right? That's true. But in other words, Plato understood that Yuli is merely sort of like an amorphous matter before God creates the world. And in fact, that's in the Rambam, in the Bukhim, and in Chalik Beis, that one could, you know. But I want to say process is related to a spiritual process in spheres. That's what I want to claim. In other words, the Ramban understood Hiyuli as being part of a divine creation.
He took the terminology of Plato.
Right. In other words, Plato uses that purely as a scientific term or whatever. In other words, what I say is that when the Ramban speaks about Yesh V'ayin and Yitzfiras, but speaks about Hiyuli too, what Ramban is doing is he's borrowing the Platonic term but using it in a way in which the spheres become part of a process. That's all I want to claim.
And it's clear from Ramban he means process.
Right. Well, that's I would understand. In other words, yeah, for sure. Because it says in the beginning there was the observer of Voyo, Khosim the Hoim, and then by Yor, which means it's a process from chaos from actually the observer Voyo that he brings that invokes that process to speak about the spheres of Kayla. So in other words, what I want to say is that that's what he claims that Ramban, right? I mean, inherently the Ramban we have must have a concept of Patsufer. Doesn't mean that I'm, in other words, the theological and Kabbalistic basis of Patsufim are in the Ramban's notion of Patsufim. That's what I claim the Ari is saying. Okay? Now, so what do we say? We say is that what the Ari did, the Ari represents, in a certain sense, in addition to the spiritual revelations, philosophically, there is a critique on Greek philosophy, which abandoned process for categories. And the Ari, in his Kabbalah, for the philosophical aspect of his Kabbalah, those of you who believe there is a philosophy of the Kabbalah, right, understands that the Kabbalah exchanges the static view of categories, which is of Aristotle to Plato, to that of what? To that of process. Now, what I want to do is, I want to bring several places where, in fact, this concept of process, where it falls into the Ari's general thinking. Okay, now, the Zohar mentions two types of spiritual process. The spiritual process is usually called in the Ari a zivug. It means a spiritual process. Now, and the Zohar speaks about two types of process, one which is constant and some which is not constant. It's not the middle topic. The Zohar speaks about that. And the question is, what is the Zohar referring to? So the Ari, I'm actually doing this a little bit brief, to actually look at the Makarsa, then we would have to look at the Beyond Zoya, etc., etc., but I'm reading from the Shah HaKabbalah of the Ari.
Which page?
In Daf Chav Gimel Bar Aleph. So the Zoya says that in the worlds, there's two types of processes. There's two zivugim. One process, which is continual, gives Kiyum and Chiyas and Mozen to all the world. So in other words, it's a process that keeps the world going. For example, right, there's a refrigerator here, and electricity is constantly feeding the refrigerator. You have lights, right? And that keeps the world going, you know, that keeps it operating on a lower level. And that's constant. That's constant. That's a continual process. It says the Ari, there's a second spiritual process that comes to infuse the world, to infuse the world with a tremendous amount of divine light. Right? And that creates the Shamas, etc., etc. Right? And says the Ari, this is something which is not constant, but only takes place at certain times. It's Enotavya. And then he says, when does this happen? This happens when a person does a mitzvah. In other words, when a person does a mitzvah, so therefore, in other words, the first process of which we call katnos, the world is sort of like, you know, being propelled on it by inertia. There's a spiritual inertia. And that's todi. That's constant. And then there's a second spiritual process that happens that infuses the world with a quantum jump of spirituality, and that takes place when a person does a mitzvah. And then he speaks about Kriya Shema and doing mitzvahs, etc., right over here. So he speaks about this in the Kavanos regarding Kriya Shema. That's when a person says Echad in Kriya Shema. And there's a whole new process. He speaks about other places too. In other words, so now, for the Ari, what do we get for the Ari? Most of the time, the world is just running on overdrive. That's the lower level. The highest level for the Ari is when a person does a mitzvah, and then in fact, actually, a person spiritualizes, generates, energizes all of the world, and that's when a person does a mitzvah. So in other words, it's clear that the Ari understand. Now, if we look at these processes, the world as it normally is, and when a person does an act, the world as it normally is the being of the world. When a person does an act, there's a becoming. It's an act of a being. So what's the Ari saying? The Ari saying is, being is a lower level. The higher level is becoming an act. That's what the Ari is saying. Now, how do I know to say this? I know to say this because I want to claim the guy in this chayla argues on the Ari. Sometimes we understand what a person says when we see the person who argues on the Ari. Now, there's a guy in several places which argues on the Ari. But I'm going to read, actually it's both in the Goyim's writings on the Zohar and also Asan Mishlevis. But actually I'm going to take in the very end of the Goyim has a Pevush on Zohar, which I don't understand because I'm not on Kubal. It's called Yahel Or. But actually the very end is what's called the Kutim Mehagroa. It's a very, very last page. Okay? And the Goyim says the following. The Goyim says, speaks about that there are these, right? These two zivukim. There's a spiritual process which is continual. And there's another spiritual process which is not continual. Says the Goyim, the exact opposite of the Ari. The spiritual process, which is continual, that's Torah. The thoughts of Torah. Torah is a continual generation of Torah in the world. And a person connects with it, doesn't connect with it. By the way, in Nigla, there's a allusion to this in the Shia that I spoke about yesterday. Make Bichl Torah once, that's it. It's good for the whole day. There's a continual, I don't know, this continual flow of overflow of Torah, God's thoughts. When I do a mitzvah, that's a lower level of spirituality. And then I do, what is when I do the mitzvah? So in other words, for the Goyim, the higher level is being. Becoming is a lower level. There's always the being of the Torah. And I just connect with that. By the way, that connected with the Maimonides and the guy from Pletz, this one, Kosh Bogos, always thinking thoughts, and the Novi, the connects, does connect. The Goyim is a post-Arizal, post-Zohar rendition of this. So in other words, we see over here that this dispute between being and becoming becomes a little bit, at least it's to interpret as a dispute between the Goyim and Yari. Yeah.
They both agree that mitzvahs is the Einot Hadar.
No, yeah, but for the Ari, the mitzvah is the higher level.
Mitzvah is the higher
level. The higher zivuk. For the Goyim, it's the lower zivuk.
But it's higher than...
than the being.
But it's higher than Kiyom Chiyos and Muslim.
It's higher, right.
But the Gra, he's turned it into...
Okay, right. Which means, look, they both agree in being and becoming. There's both elements of that. But for the Gra, for the Ari, the Ikka... the Ikkar of the person is a mitzvah. The Ikkar is the being, so the act of the mitzvah.
Where does the Ari put Torah? It's one of the mitzvahs?
Probably one of the mitzvahs. And it's mashma like that in the Balatanya too. Although you should know something in the Ari, it's mashma in the Ari that we understood in it for the Meshichas, actually in the Balatanya quotes him on this, that tefillah became more important than Torah.
Mm-hmm.
In the Ari.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, of course it is, you know from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that one of the attacks of the Hasidim was the amendment of the Limud HaTorah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner speaks about that people make a mistake that Torah is Dveikus. I mean, Dveikus is the quintessential act of becoming the Vedas. So in other words, and according to Kabbalah, to know is to know the Torah. The Torah is a body of knowledge. So we see clearly that this dispute, like sort of like, expresses itself in the Nefshachayim and the Balatayim, who says explicitly that Torah is the Vedas. So in other words, what I want to say is that here we see a very, very important thing. So now what I was like this. What I was saying is that clearly what the Ari did was was in fact make an entire critique, bring down the Platonic Aristotelian notion of being, Parmenides, the rejection of becoming, and reveal a Kabbalah whose philosophical basis was a philosophy of becoming. A philosophy of becoming. And Patsufim is related to that. And the Makoya, in the words of the the words of the yourself, is in fact actually the Hiyuli of the Ramban. In the Ramban, there's no notion of Hiyuli. I mean, there's a notion of Hiyuli as far as the eternity of the universe. But the creation of the world in the Ramban, the Ramban doesn't use Hiyuli in the creation, as far as this creation is the Olo. And that's a concept which is separate than any notion, physical notion. And that's where he leaves it. It's like reducible dichotomy. So, in other words, what I want to say is that this is what Yariv saw, how his Kabbalah, his Patsufim, was inherent, embedded in the Torah of the Ramban and the Sefer HaBor, Chulu Ben Akona. Now, that's what Yariv is saying. Now, so in other words, what Yariv understands from this, really, is that in fact his Kabbalah is merely giving more explicit and detailed expression, right, and interpretations, understanding of the Zohar, which he got from Eliyahu HaNavi, but the philosophical dimension is really based, right, upon an understanding of the creation of the creation theologies of the Ramban, right, and the Ari understood that here was embedded at least the fundamental basis of his entire Kabbalah. That's what I want to claim in the Ari. Now, I mentioned, though, however, that, you know, as oftentimes happens in Jewish philosophy, this was not without its kolkin, those who disagree. The Goyin, even though the Goyin does not reject the concept of process, the Goyin clearly does not place becoming as the principal foundation of Jewish action, but of course, Limud HaTorah, which is related to what the Gaon says to be the ultimate ontology of the world, is Taka Beraisa Ubara Alma. Yeah.
Why is Torah not becoming?
Because Torah is a body of knowledge. Torah is a body of knowledge. Torah is thought. It's not a process.
If I make a chiddush in Torah, am I not?
No, but your chiddush in Torah just might be connecting to a Torah Hakadosh. Torah is before the world is created. Or Torah is. Yisrael v'Yaraisa Kutsha Baruch HaKadosh.
It starts off perfect.
Right. That's what Torah is. It's the Nefesh HaChayim's concept of Torah. Mm-hmm. And that's the Torah which is cut up into the world has to have a being that's before being. The Torah is before the world. It has to be a being. It can't be a becoming. Becoming is become a world. So in other words, that's exactly what they're going to say. Okay, now, there's more actually to speak about, right, this dispute between the Goyin and the Ari. But this is going to relate to a lot more Makayas and sources, that are, et cetera, what is a mitzvah, this and that. But in any case, I think I'm going to leave that for next time in Yetzir Hashem. I'm going to actually speak more in detail of how this new philosophical dimension relates to the vision of Jewish life, of mitzvahs and Torah. But until next time, from an undisclosed place, Yerushalayim Yechak Kodesh, Kol Tov.